Okay, Bob, in Acts chapter 4, 9. Praise the Lord. And sometimes nice to have a little bit less formal of service. Amen. It's, you know, the early church didn't have an order of service and all of that. They just came and sang and preached the Word of God. I understand, you know, order and all that has its place, but sometimes it's good just to have more relaxed service and just a time of worshiping the Lord together. Do keep the Imes in prayer, Brother Imes. This is the doctor this week. And pray for Augusta as well. All right. Acts chapter 4 tonight, and just a simple message, a brief message, but I think one that applies to us not only this week, because we do have Vacation Bible School coming up this week, and I want to encourage you with some things. It was mentioned in the bulletin for the last couple of weeks. Please pray for Vacation Bible School. Pray. Because we already had quite a few obstacles, and we need to pray and ask the Lord to take those obstacles away. Because there's going to be all kinds of things. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be other storms this week, other things going on, you know, people running late, or bus route taking a long time. You know, there's always things that happen during Vacation Bible School. But how to respond to them is very important. But not only in that, and we're going to look at prayer tonight, and we're going to look at boldness in prayer. Boldness in prayer. So I'd like a little bit about boldness, and been speaking a little bit about a sermon I heard this week. What I'm going to speak to you about right now really isn't in the sermon I heard, but because the Lord's been speaking to my heart about this, and this is on my heart, so I want to share it with you tonight. Very simple, 3 points tonight, several verses, nothing very really profound, but I think there's some things we can observe in Scripture that will help us tonight, and to have boldness in our prayer life. And that I believe that as Christians, not only do we need to have boldness in witnessing, boldness and not being ashamed, but also we don't need to be ashamed to come to God in prayer. We need to be bold in our prayer life. And in Acts chapter 4, we can all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to begin in verse number 23 and read down through verse number 31. Now this is the time after the first persecution, after Peter and John had been taken and then let go. And there was threatenings that the early church being threatened by the Jews and was being threatened with persecution, with beating, even death. And this is their prayer. When they were faced with adversity, they were faced with losing their life, they were faced with persecution, they were faced with losing their economic standing, they were faced with so many things that were hard things to bear, were things that they did not expect when they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't expect these things to happen, I am sure. And there are things where, as a Christian, we don't expect to happen, but do. Because we are a Christian, because there will be adversity. And the prayer that they pray is amazing. I think we can learn much from it tonight, beginning in verse number 23 of Acts chapter 4. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And what did they tell them? That they were no longer to preach in this name, the name of Jesus. They wouldn't even say it. No, speak no more in this name. Verse number 24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. From a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. I want you to pay attention to that verse right there. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they might speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing tonight before we continue. Dearly Father, I come before you tonight. I thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray that you bless this message, that you give us the right encouragement and the right ideas from your word, and the right truths, that we would apply them to your Lord, that we would live in light of them this week, and that our prayer life would be forever changed, that we'd be bold, dear Lord, in requesting and bringing petition to you. I pray that you bless us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May be seated tonight. And Brother Larson, I wonder if you could give me a glass of wine. I greatly appreciate that. I sweated a little. I think I sweated it all out because getting fuel in that bus. All right. So right here we see something that they are faced with an adversity. They are faced with a trial. They are faced with that if they continue to preach and to teach like they have been, that they were going to be persecuted. They were going to be killed. They were going to be beaten. They were going to lose standing. Maybe some of these people had financial things to lose. They had prestige, or maybe they had positions of authority. There is all so many different people. Remember, the church at this time, that over 3,000 people had been saved. This wasn't 50 people we're talking about, but this was a great number of people. And they came together, the disciples and those that were with them, and they gave a report of all that had happened. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And they gave the report. We see that in verse number 23. They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. You know, ever you ever want to go tell somebody something, but you're not sure how they're going to take it because of bad news? And you know, sometimes you just don't want to tell them what's going on, but then you need to go tell them. Well, guess what? The disciples went and they went and repeated exactly what had been said. Right here, we see what happened in the earlier part of the verse. And so they said in verse number 30, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Then they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. And what did they do? And in verse 18, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. So they're told, don't preach anymore. We don't want to hear this message. We don't want to hear it. And they said, and they repeated what the Pharisees had, and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin had said. And when they had heard that, they pray the prayer, O Lord, save our skin. No, that is what they said. O Lord, deliver us from this trial. That's not what they said. O Lord, make the Sadducees go away. No. What happened is they made some very important observations. And number one tonight, the boldness in prayer. Number one, asking in boldness. They made some very important observations in the prayer. They had the right viewpoint. Verse 24, it said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now, if they're doing subpoints right here, to ask in boldness, we have to understand something. First being that God is always on the throne. God is always on the throne. God knows exactly what is going on at all times. And the disciples knew that Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit knew what was going on and knew what these men had said and knew that He was the all-powerful Creator God and they were responsible to Him. Not to the Sanhedrin, not to the religious leaders of the day, but that they were responsible to Almighty God. And they had the right viewpoint that the Almighty God that created all things has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. So here, praying about what had happened before. All those that were the religious leaders and the political leaders of the day, and they named them Herod, Pontius Pilate in verse number 27, when the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Now verse 28 is very important. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. That this was all in the plan of God to bring about the salvation of man. It's amazing. We have to understand something, that God knows exactly what He is doing. And sometimes, even through adversity, it is God's plan for us to endure that. It is God's plan for us to go through that. Because God had a plan in this adversity for the church of Jerusalem. They were to disperse. God commanded them to, and they didn't do it. And then persecution came, and then they started to go abroad. They began to scatter because of the persecution became so vehement. And then we see the Apostle Paul, Saul at that time, he was part of that. But they came to this understanding. God knew what was going on. God was on the throne. And because of that, number two, God was in control of the situation. and that God was not taken by surprise. Maybe it was a surprise to them, but God was not shocked by what was going on. God was not surprised. And what they did is they simply appealed that, Lord, you know what's going on. You're allowing this to happen. You're allowing us to go through this, and we're content with that. Wow, I think we can learn a lot from that. That this is what's going on. They didn't ask to be delivered from the trial. They didn't ask to say, well, change the Sanhedrin's mind. They didn't say that. Said that, God, you had all of this happen to Jesus in your infinite knowledge and foresight, and this was part of your plan for Jesus to go through that, to be rejected of men. It was part of what was supposed to happen. And guess what? There's going to be some adversities that come in our life that are part of the plan. We don't like to hear that. Because we think if we get saved and we love God and God loves us, we're going to have peaches and roses and we're going to have everything easy. It's not going to happen that way. There is going to be in the plan of God some persecutions and some trials and some hard times for you. But when that happens, the natural inclination is to go into our shell, to go in the corner and hide. And saying, if I go and I continue the way I've been doing, maybe they're having persecution because of their boldness. They were being bold, and they said here that even in the Sanhedrin, Peter and John, they were being bold. And that they said that they marveled at their boldness, and they knew that they were unlearned and ignorant men. How did they know that? How they talked. Their accent, their dialect, more than likely, that they did not speak like the accomplished, educated Pharisees and Sadducees. They knew that they were just simple people. But that there was one very important difference. They had been with Jesus Christ. They had been with Jesus. And they had been with Him. And they were being bold because they knew what they had seen. They had spoken with their Lord. They believed their Lord. Jesus had given Peter a commission, had asked him three times, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Three times. And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And so now, after that, and given the great commission to send it up into heaven, and then they received the Holy Ghost, and then there was Pentecost, and everything was happening, and they saw God working, and God was working miracles, and they had boldness. They went and healed in the temple, and then they're told, well, because of this, because of your boldness, because everything is happening, the whole town is in an uproar. Everybody's wondering who they're saying that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God. And guess what? That was a threat to their way of thinking and believing. And so, they tell them, don't preach that anymore. Don't preach it anymore. Don't preach anymore in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But what did Peter and John say? And Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And they threatened them some more. And you know, what is the reaction that we want to have? Lord, you know, give me grace. You know, we want to sink back a little bit. We want to sit back. Okay, I'm going to go through some adversity, so I'm going to back off a little bit. That's not what they prayed for. They prayed that their boldness would remain during time of trial. And that is a switch, because naturally we don't want to do that. But because of what God was doing, and because God was working a miracle, and guess what? When we're bold for the Lord, you are on the tip of the spear. You are going up. You are going on the offensive with the devil. And guess what? The devil doesn't like it. There was I was to get the updates of the Victory Baptist Press, and there was a missionary book that about tribe in Papua New Guinea that they've been promoting, and then one of the missionaries that was over there, actually a missionary that my wife knows, and he does Bible translation over there, and he said this, that it's so great to work in a country where out on the end of the limb where you can get some ripe fruit, but also being out there on the limb, being at the tip of the spear, he said, we see the devil bare his teeth. And we can even smell the sulfur, and figuratively speaking, of course, very good writer, but smell the sulfur of hell and the breath of the demons trying to fight against what God is trying to do. And boldness is part of that. And if we're going to be bold for the Lord, then we need to be with Jesus and have some time with Him and have a walk with Him. But we need to ask in boldness. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. How are we to come to God? We're not to come to God in intrepidation. And we've looked at this other times. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And guess what? The church in Jerusalem was in a time of need. And they didn't say, "Lord, help us by making it go away. Help us by keeping the boldness, keeping the faith, and not becoming weaker." And that they wanted more boldness, and by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And they did not ask one thing for themselves. They didn't have to save their skin. They didn't ask for things to be easier. They asked, "Lord, continue to give us boldness. Give us even more to see you do great work." When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God. Guess what? With boldness, God answered their prayer. They prayed for that continued boldness, and God answered. Number one, we have to ask in boldness. Number two, we need to expect in boldness. Let me ask you something. If you pray for boldness, or you boldly pray for something, and you pray for it, and then you say, "Well, we'll see if that happens." Now remember the prayer of faith, when you look at chapter 1, that we're to ask expecting, we're to ask in faith, nothing wavering, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And we say, "Well, Lord, we'd love to see you do this." You know, we can be real bold in our prayers, and we can be asking the Lord. Now, we got to be careful that we make sure we pray inside the will of God. But you not be bold foolishly. But you know, I think it's better to pray boldly and be maybe a little bit on the foolish side than then be on the faithful side. Amen? I think we need to be careful that we just say, "Well, we're just trying to be practical here." Guess what? Faith is not always practical. Faith is not always practical. And we need to ask in boldness. And you know, the Lord challenged me with this today. As I was driving and we did not know, you know, we had found out, you know, the bus was on the side of the road, and I called, we didn't know if we had a bus for Vacation Bible School, and I was like, "Lord, we don't have a bus, and we need a bus. I don't know what's going to happen with this. I mean, it's online, it's in the newspaper, we can't just change it, you know, and we have 80 kids signed up. If we wait a week, we're going to lose a lot of them." And I said, "Lord, you know, this is a big problem." And I'm just praying, and I'm in my van, and I have the fuel in the bag, and I said, "Lord," and I was just pulling out of the Sefco, I filled it up, and I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. You're going to have to start that bus. You're going to have to start it or provide another bus, Lord. I don't know what else to do. I can't do it, but you can." And I was just like, "Lord, I that's it. There's nothing more I can do. We can't afford to tow it." And the thing's sitting in front of Elliott Electric Applied driveway. Anybody want to try and tow that thing? Thing weighs 18,000 pounds. You know, so I have people, they say, "Well, I have a big truck." Rip the hitch right off. You might be able to move it a couple feet, but, you know, we want to test your towing capacity, Anita. No, we don't want to try that. That's how you drop a transmission out of something, maybe. But, you know, I felt like saying, you know, "Hey," because I got there. You know what I was thinking, Brother Holman? You know, I was thinking, I said, "Well, it's right in front of the driver." I said, "You know, well, hey, what are some big guys? Maybe we can push it, like a few feet." But then I looked at it, you know, there's like the driveway, and then it like drops off into the ditch. And we couldn't push it backwards, the same thing. So it's sitting there, the only place you can park it. Couldn't you pick a better spot? No, I understand. You know, you can't help it when the bus comes out on you. That's just it. You know, it's like, what? And right there, I said, "Lord, you know, either going to have to tow it, you know, and we don't have the money, you know, we just got the money for the registration. We're going to have to spend it on just towing it, getting here. Then we don't have a bus." And then, you know, when I was just there, and the Lord just gave me peace, "Just put the fuel in it." I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm putting the fuel in it." And I'm putting the hose, and it's spilling everywhere. I said, "Lord, you know, I need help." I said, "I don't know how I'm going to do this." And I'm looking, I was going to put it up over the window and do it from the inside and go down in there. And I was saying, "Lord, I need help." Like 30 seconds later, pop around, "Hey, you need help?" I was in a scared mood, like, whoa. You know, and someone pulled up and said, you need help? I said, well, yeah, we're at, what's wrong? So we're at gas. He said, need help? I said, what should I do? And then we put that 5 gallons in there, and you know, we had tried starting it, so the battery's kind of low. And so I'm just, yeah, this pulpit gave me a spike. Yeah, sure. All right. See, the pulpit's attacking me. No, but, so I put that key in there. And I just said that, you know, we put it in there, and I said in front of the guys, I said, Lord, you're going to have to start this building. Because there wasn't a whole lot of battery left. I didn't have jumper cables either. And I was like, man, I should have bought the jumper cables. You know, but you try jumping, guess what side the battery compartment's on? The roadside. I mean, that's not going to go very well. And so I go and start it, and it's going over, and it's I was like, come on. And it goes, vroom! And it starts, then I put my foot down, I mash it down. And vroom! It starts up. But then it started coughing a little bit. You know, just, and then I was like, okay, Lord. It's okay, I shut it. I said, put, why don't you put the other 5 gallons in? Put it in there and start it up. And I was like, thank you, Lord, thank you. Then, went down the road and started going, I said, Lord, get it to the gas station. Please, get it to the gas station. Got right there, I put it in the park, and it's got, I filled it up and it drove here, still coughed a couple of times, but I said, Lord, you know, thank you, Lord, for getting it here. You know, there's times that we just have to throw ourselves on the mercy and provision of God. There's nothing more that we can do. But sometimes we're afraid to do that because we're afraid God's going to disappoint. God did not disappoint today. It's not because I'm some spiritual person. Guess what? I have doubts like everybody else. But are you willing to ask? Do we have to, that asking in boldness, then expect in boldness? And there have been times, Lord, I can't do it. I said, Lord, please start this bus. And I'm starting, and I said, you know, I was expecting it to start. I was expecting it, and I was like, it was going to start one way or the other. And it started up. Because if we ask in boldness and expect in boldness, number 3, it's going to lead us to act in boldness. To act. And that's exactly what happened. They began to preach the word of God in boldness. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and verse number 17 through 19, and then I'll be done tonight. 1 John chapter 4, and verses 17 through 19. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but in perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. This is a very important verse for us. Because the enemy of boldness is fear. And what was made very clear in that prayer in Acts chapter 4 is that these people love God. And they love God and they perfectly love. They had put it all on the line. They had dedicated themselves wholly to God. It didn't matter what. They loved God so much, it didn't matter what happened to them. Didn't matter. They weren't going to back up. They weren't going to trade Jesus in. They were committed. And that's why they prayed in boldness. Why? Because they had a love for God that was totally committed. They loved God. Perfect love. Casteth out fear. Now, there are times that we're praying, and you know what, and maybe we're afraid of what's going to happen, and there is some fear there. You know what you need to do? You need to pray in some boldness. You need to pray and ask the Lord. And guess what? The more you pray, the less fear you have. And there are things that we face, we have fear, but when we pray, the less fear we have. And when you ask in boldness, and you expect an answer of boldness, and you expect that, and for you to step out there in faith, and you're going to act in faith. Let me ask you something. You want to act in boldness. How much time do you spend praying for it? Oh, I spend 5 minutes. 2 minutes. You know, I prayed for it once a while ago, but I haven't gotten it yet. Guess what? If you really want something from the Lord, better spend some time praying about it. Better spend some time praying about it. Better spend some time communing with God about it. And it's not something that boldness is not something you get it once and you have it. It's something that you constantly have to ask for and receive and keep yourself in line with God. And by the way, you can't, if you're not right with God, you can forget about having boldness. Because guess what? Sin makes ashamed. Sin always does. Sin makes us ashamed. Sin makes us afraid. So if you want to have boldness, get the sin out of your life. That which is sinful, that which is wrong, you have some boldness and be not be ashamed of the gospel, not be ashamed of God's word, not be ashamed to ask God for things, then get the sin out of your life. Because sin brings shame. That's Bible. Very clear. Sin brings shame. So if we want God to do something in this PBS, if we want God to do something, if you're a team leader, you work on the bus, no matter what you're doing, if you want to see God do something, get clean. It's not, well, it's just vacation Bible school. Just. Remember who we're dealing with. We're dealing with young people. Some of the most precious people to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it weighs heavy on me. And it should weigh heavy as a parent. And if any shall offend one of these little ones, it would be better for him to have had a millstone hanging about his neck and he would drag him into his heart and sin. I would say that's pretty severe. Amen? And that's not something to be taken lightly. So sometimes, you know, I've done it, and we can come in, well, here's what you have, BBS is here again, here we go, you know, and we're here, and we're doing it, and yeah, we're excited, woo-hoo, it's a lot of fun, and we're going to come, we're going to punch our time card 6 to 8 every night this week, and we're going to go, and we're going to do it, and we're going to get through, and yes, some kids will get saved, and yes, it'll be a long week, we're going to be glad when it's over, and maybe we'll have a couple decisions for the Lord. That's exactly, yeah, God. No, that's what we're going to do this week. That should not be the expectation. We need to spend some time in prayer this week. I need to spend time in prayer this week. To have boldness, to have clarity. Because guess what? The number one thing that God wants, or not, that the devil wants to do, is try to make the lesson time zoo with the kids and trying to get me distracted with things and different things like that. 9 times out of 10, right before I'm about to teach, there's some emergency the first night. It happens every time. There's some emergency that needs my attention, you know, trying to get it taken care of. Then we get going, or something's going on. Nothing's going on in the hallway. And you know what? We need to just focus on what God would have us focus on and pray and work in our area. But, you know, we need to pray for these kids. We still have a lot of kids that are new to our bus routes that are not saved yet. We have a lot. We have a lot of people. I have several people register online today that are not coming on bus. They're driving in. I think they heard about the newspaper. That is completely new. Probably not saved. And you know what? We can't assume that these kids will keep coming to church on Sunday because a lot of them go to other churches, other places. And they come to Vacation Bible School. And these kids can come and get saved. But aside from that, if VBS is like this, that are mission themed, that change young people's lives, that already are saved. I'm talking the 9, 10, 11-year-old range. And that God speaks to them about being the mission. God speaks to them about witnessing with their friends. This is what they're going to be challenged with this week. Are we praying about it? Yes, it's my job as pastor to pray about it, but are we as a church praying about it? Maybe you're not even involved in VBS. Will you pray this week? Will you ask in boldness, expect in boldness, and then act in boldness this week? Faith didn't make it, not ashamed. We act in faith, and we have faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we love Him. Perfect love casteth out fear. We're going to have some boldness, just like they did in the book of Acts. We can have that. It's the same God we serve. The same Holy Spirit. The same Jesus. God hasn't changed. Neither should we. And so tonight, will we dedicate ourselves to having some boldness in prayer this week? And that as we see God answer those prayers, as we see God work in that way, it'll encourage us. And guess what? You just need to keep on asking. You need to keep on praying. You keep praying in that boldness, and you will continue it. Well, if we haven't been doing that, let's begin it here tonight. We're going to have our invitation time here in just a moment. You know, there can be something. You know, it reminds me often, we look at Joshua, and we look at the victory of Jericho, and then we see the defeat of the island. As one man's sin. Are we clean today? Are we clean before going into vacation Bible school? Are we clean before the Lord? of everything. We write with people. Are we clean? If we're not clean, we're not going to see God bless us. One person can short-circuit it all. I believe that 100%. I believe it can be one or two people that can short-circuit an entire event, that can short-circuit the growth of an entire church. You look at the Bible, you can see that. That one person's sin can defile many and cause God's blessing to be off. So tonight, make sure we're clean. Make sure that we're right with the Lord. And then ask God the boldness for some expect some bold expectations. Pray in faith and act upon it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that you would bless as we go into Vacation Bible School. Lord, we have done much preparation. So many people have done so much work and spent many hours. And Lord, we do all of that with the expectation that young people are going to be reached for you, that they are going to be hearing the gospel, and those that are already saved are going to be presented with serving you. Lord, such a humbling time to be used of you. And Lord, we want to be used this week. Our whole church, we want to be used of you. That's why we're here. That's why so many are working in Vacation Bible School. They want to see you work and they want to be used. And I pray that you would use each one. But Lord, if there's an area of our life that needs to be gotten right, maybe it's a small thing to us, but Lord, every sin is a large thing to you that we need to get right. And maybe we need to ask for some boldness this week, to act in boldness, to ask questions to young people about their sinful condition or their salvation, or maybe about something going on in their life that we need to be bold and act in a bold way to expect great things from you. I pray, Lord, that we attempt them for you as well. Bless our invitation time tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let every head bowed, every eye closed, and rise to our feet tonight. Is there one here tonight you're not sure that you're saved? Maybe you're hearing the message and say, I want to have boldness, but I can't have boldness if I don't know Jesus. And maybe you don't know the Lord tonight. Is that you? Maybe you're not saved. Anybody like that tonight? Is anybody just raise your hand? Anybody say, I'm not saved. I need to be saved tonight. Maybe you're here tonight as a Christian and there's some things you need to get right in your heart. Maybe you just want to come down to the altar and pray and ask the Lord to bless this Vacation Bible School. You've been praying. Pray in boldness and expect God to answer tonight. Pray in faith. Maybe there's some things, maybe you're doing some new things in Vacation Bible School and you're afraid. Maybe there's some fears that you have. Lay them at the altar tonight.